I am Brian, and I'm an addict, and I appreciate having the opportunity to be the speaker tonight. I'll try to briefly take you through my journey so far and where it's taken me to now. I spent the first 7 years of my life on Long Island, in New York, in a middle-class home with two brothers and a mom and a dad who were married and seemed to love each other. I received First Communion at a Catholic church with my mom at the same time, who had converted from Judaism. And I later gave my first confession and got a cool rosary when I was about 7 or 8. So I was kind of pretty much in the normal world of the Catholic Church. When I was about 7 or 8, I started moving around, and I moved every few years all around North America, between the US and Canada. But throughout all that, we generally went to church most Sundays. And while I was reflecting today, I was thinking that one thing that Catholicism did successfully for me is to make me too scared and guilt-ridden as a younger child to really ever deeply explore my doubts about God. I just truly didn't even think about it until I got older. It wasn't really till high school when I started more deeply asking the important questions in life. You know, what will I end up doing for a job? Will I get married and have kids? I was a teenage boy. Am I going to get lucky? What was I going to spend my life doing? And as I fantasized about my adult life, it was impossible to ignore the fact that I didn't see God in any of that at all. So this all reached a head when I was about 16 or 17 years old, when I confessed to my dad, the more religious of my two parents, that I didn't believe in God, nor did I believe in what the Catholic Church preached. That ended with my father exasperatingly yelling at me, you know, what are you going to do? Get married in a court? Which was about the best he could come up with at that time. You know, never mind my burning soul for eternity, but you know, yeah, there's lots of downsides. As I left my teen years and entered my 20s, I think two particular existential crises came together, which led me down the path that I ended up taking as a young adult. I think since perhaps early in middle school, and I think I've just really started thinking about more of this more recently, even though, again, I hear this all the time, and just kind of more recently, I'm like, oh yeah, I think that applies to me too. But I noticed I felt different than the other kids around me. I felt like I didn't fit in. I wasn't gay. I didn't have gender dysphoria. I wasn't in trouble with the law. I didn't have any particular reason to like cling to why I didn't fit in. I just felt like I didn't, and I didn't really know why. But at that time, I was lucky I had a small group of other kind of misfitty friends who also, I think, were the other kids who tended not to fit in. And we found some comfort in being weird together. In college, you know, I went to a college where it was very much a lot of people like me, and yet there were so many of them, I managed to still feel other than feel separate from everyone. But I still found a small group of core friends that gave me some support. And I continued to wrestle with many of the same questions that kids do, you know, at this time. What do you have to do to be happy? How can I be a good person if I sometimes do bad things? And is there a God? If not, then where does the meaning in life come from? And I think instead of accepting the by definition unsolvable nature of these types of questions, like mentally healthier and sane individuals do, and move on with their lives, I kind of got stuck in that. And when I couldn't figure out the answers, I didn't know what to do. I got depressed. I withdrew. I spent a year after my undergraduate years working as a paramedic, and lived a very carefree life with no kids or real responsibilities. I met a young woman who was engaged to another man, and we had a tremendously painful time trying to keep from doing anything about that for many months to keep from acting on what we were feeling. I had a nice girlfriend. She was engaged. But nevertheless, after she got married, she invited me to visit her while her husband was out of town, which began a several month long escapade, which, despite being incredibly wrong, was unquestionably exhilarating. Eventually, I got caught by my girlfriend, and the shame I felt from that moment on was so overpowering. I felt very confident that I did not deserve to live. I descended into this self-pitying shame spiral, which made me withdraw even further and became really depressed. And I mostly thought about killing myself all day, every day. And instead of taking responsibility for doing bad things and trying to make amends and change my behavior to behavior that was consistent with my values and moving on with my life, I instead reached a few conclusions with complete certainty and clarity. I decided that with complete certainty, I was a worthless piece of shit. I decided that with complete certainty, I didn't ever deserve to be happy. And I decided that with complete certainty that I would be sad in this life. And as that was all kind of coming to a peak, it was a few months later, I had a minor surgical procedure and they gave me a little bottle of pain pills. And they did make my pain go away for a bit, long after the stupid procedure was done. And it let me escape the hell that I lived in. They were dependable. They were always waiting for me at the end of a bad day. And the drugs provided me with a new certainty in the life filled with uncertainty that I couldn't handle, a reliability that I came to depend on, that no matter how shitty my day, my life, or anything else was, drugs would generally make me feel better, or at least make me feel comfortable ignoring the rest of my life. And from that moment on, I stopped inquiring about the things that I perceived as having an uncertain answer. I just existed from day to day, if only barely, making it from one moment to the next, until that next moment inevitably had some drugs with it. I think the more I did that, the more it also just kind of backed up all those things I mentioned earlier, that I just continued to feel more worthless, disappointment, and a huge piece of shit as my life kind of spiraled around that. As the years went by, I became even more certain about a few things. I became certain that there definitely was no God. I could never be happy, and that I would never get clean. Certainly not with a 12-step program, which demanded you give it up to God. But in recovery, one of the most important things I learned early on was that I needed to get comfortable with the idea of uncertainty. Step one, accepting that I was powerless, required being comfortable with the concept of uncertainty. Because if I'm powerless, if I can't control everything, then how do I know what will happen? But for me, it required a gigantic leap of faith through that uncertainty to accept the idea that I could get better if I followed the suggestions of the 12 steps. I couldn't be certain I would get better if I followed the steps, but I was desperate enough that I could finally accept that. And despite my uncertainty, I followed the 12 steps and now have a life that is tremendously improved. And so, in the rooms of NA, I had my first successful experience with the power of faith. Not a faith in God, which I still don't find that I think exist, but a faith that if I try to follow the steps of a program, that I could get better. And I found that my life with secular NA has been kind of continuing to grapple with that. I found it's a balance between overanalyzing other people's programs. And I've been glad to hear I'm not apparently the only one that does that. It's a bad habit, but it's hard not to compare what other people are doing and how does that, is my program just crap? But the challenge for me, particularly with kind of navigating through secular NA, has been to kind of not throw away the baby with the bathwater. There's some in the secular program who tend to throw everything away. But that's not the path I've chosen to follow. And I don't think I would be nearly as successful in the program if I had done that. I had this idea early on of making my own steps, essentially to make my own program. And I think I would have lost something powerful if I'd stuck to that. I was in a group recently that basically just purely removes all the steps that mention a God or a higher power. So they basically have 1, 4, 8, 9, 10, 12, and then they add a few others. I think that's missing a lot of steps that, in my mind, missing a lot of potential opportunities for getting better. I think one of the biggest challenges in recovery is the continuing theme of uncertainty. Continuing this theme of uncertainty is that I don't know which part of the program, which combinations of things that I'm doing to stay clean is going to actually keep me clean. I just know this disease has many, many paths back to using. And I found many of those over the years, and I don't want to go back. Unlike some in secular NA, I don't have a problem with a higher power. For me, it's a somewhat nebulous concept of the group, the program, beauty, peace. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's my belief that an important part of why the program works is not because of a belief in God, but it's something bigger than yourself, something outside of you. And no doubt I am frequently my worst enemy. And as my sponsor told me early on in the recovery process, sometimes you need to outsource your executive function. So why not do that to a group of people and to a program that seems to understand what we tend to do pretty well? When I arrived at the doors of NA finally this time around in September of 2022, I was more desperate than I'd been my whole life. I kept a little journal of my thoughts after some of my early 12-step groups. When I was 5 days clean, someone said this in a meeting. They said that higher power could be a different part of you, that deep voice in you, that is the right one. I think we've all heard of GOD, Group of Drug Addicts, Great Outdoors, Good Orderly Direction. And again, we hear these things in meetings, but when I heard this at only 5 days clean, it was really important to me because there I was in a NA meeting, this God meeting, and yet other people seemed to also struggle with this, and apparently they were finding their way through it. And somehow I heard them this time around, where I just couldn't hear those people when I came to these rooms in the past. When I was 9 days clean, I went to a group called NA Recovering Soul, and I have it in my little journal as small and redneck as hell. I don't I was gonna like make a little directory of NA meetings or something when I was making these notes, but the guy said step two doesn't have anything to do with God. It has to do with what do you do when desire and opportunity come knocking at the same time? And the same kind of thing. I said, yeah, that's when you got to find that power to help you out. And again, through all this, I started to realize that others were having these same reservations about God, and yet they were still working a successful program. So, in the 2.5 years since, I've continued to try to better understand what higher power means. I certainly don't have it in any way figured out. I'm pretty confident I still don't believe in God, and I'm still pretty confident I can still work a 12-step program successfully. So far, it's been okay, and these rooms have shown me that lots of other people are doing it, and they're doing it for way longer than I've done it. So, it seems to work. That's been my path so far. So appreciate everyone listening.